Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
It follows Tuesday's disastrous bridge collapse. Just moments ago, we heard and authorities revealed that they found two victims. Just to give you a sense of some of the information, just shortly before 10 a.m. Eastern Time Wednesday, Colonel Butler of the State Police said that they found in 25 foot of water a red pickup truck, and two of the victims, a 35-year-old man and a 26-year-old man, were found. Their families, of course, have been notified. Rescue efforts, they also said, at the bridge have now turned to recovery and to salvage. Heartbreaking news, too, for the families of the four other construction workers that remain unaccounted for. We're also learning more about some of those men who were on the bridge when it was struck by that container ship. Maria Santana spoke with the brother of Mena Suarez Sandoval, a father of two, who came to the United States from Honduras.
We still have hope till this moment. God grant the miracle. It would be beautiful. For us and the family in Honduras, we still have hope. I know time is our worst enemy.
And divers continue the dangerous work of trying to find victims and provide some closure, of course, for the remaining families. In the meantime, the collapse has shut down one of America's busiest ports, and you heard them reiterating that in that press conference. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said Wednesday that rebuilding the bridge won't be easy.
We are committed to delivering every federal resource needed to help Maryland get back to normal, and we're going to work with them every step of the way to rebuild this bridge. It is not going to be simple. Rebuilding will not be quick or easy or cheap, but we will get it done.
And Pete Muntean is in Baltimore and joins us now on this. Pete, I know you were listening to that press conference too, and a lot of the discussion there was on the 8,000 workers that are now impacted by the damage to the bridge, that the challenges of the recovery and the salvage operations. But I think the most important part is for two now of the friends and families, they have some degree of closure for, though, families and friends still unaccounted for at this moment.
It is such a human story, Julia, and the fact that a 25 and 26-year-old man were found buried, trapped in this red pickup truck that was apparently submerged 25 feet under the superstructure of this truss bridge here in the Patapsco River is really just tragic, according to officials who just spoke about this. The round robin there was very clear. They made it clear that this will have to be done slowly and very carefully, that this recovery operation has really transitioned now into more of a salvage operation. They had divers in the water, according to Governor Wes Moore of Maryland, at 6 a.m. this morning. And just to give you a sense of the conditions here, it is very wet. It has been raining off and on all day. At some points, very heavy rain. It is cold. This is very much a spring Maryland day. The water temperature is very cold. It's been about 48 degrees. And the visibility underwater is incredibly limiting. It is a very murky, brackish water here in the Patapsco River that leads to Chesapeake Bay and then out to the Atlantic Ocean. The risk to divers is extreme. And we heard from a diving expert earlier on CNN who said that a jagged piece of bridge structure, that steel and concrete underwater, could easily puncture a suit, easily puncture an airline and could make this disaster so much worse. This is also happening as the investigation is really now hitting its stride, and we now know from the National Transportation Safety Board that they have recovered the Voyage data recorder from onboard the MV Dolly. That will contain really key clues about what was happening on the bridge of the ship at the frantic final moments before this collision here in the very early morning hours of Tuesday local time here on the East Coast. There was an alarm going off on the bridge, according to one of the Maryland congressmen who was briefed on this by the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard, though, says this is very much a salvage operation, and across agencies have really banded together to try and make it so that they can make this happen swiftly and smoothly. Remember, there are 8,000 people, as you mentioned, whose lives rely on the port of Baltimore. This is one of the busiest ports on the East Coast. Now boats are being diverted to places like Norfolk, Virginia, Newark, New Jersey. This is a place where a lot of cars come in, a lot of cars come out, rather, and imported are a lot of commodities like salt and sugar. This is the home of Domino Sugar here in Baltimore, Maryland. And so they want to get that open again and get the lifeblood of this city open again. 11 ships, we have just confirmed, are now trapped behind this broken bridge, blocking off this massive sea lane. They're working on getting money from the federal government so they can clear the bridge, design a new one, and put a new one in quickly. But it sounds like that process will take a very long time.
Yeah, and we certainly got that from the press conference too, Governor. Wes Moore saying it is a Maryland crisis, but it's also a global crisis, to your point. And actually, $80 billion worth of foreign cargo was handled last year, the biggest in the nation, in fact. So they did reiterate not just the challenges of trying to remove the debris from here, but the cost in the interim of waiting to do that. One of the lines that was this, they're working on a replacement bridge and getting that waterway open, but they simply can't give a time scale or a cost at this moment, too early days. Pete, great to have you with us. Thank you so much for that report there. More First Move after this.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number smart beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature-balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, welcome back to First Move with a look at today's money move. And finally, some green on the screen. U.S. stocks breaking a three-session losing streak with the S&P 500 hitting fresh records. Another Trump stock bump, too. The former U.S. president's media holdings rising for a second straight session after Monday's strong market debut, up another 14%. I make that 30% in 2 days. Wowzers. Disney ending the session in line with the S&P after reaching a settlement with the U.S. state of Florida in their long-running dispute over who controls the Disney World tax district. And meanwhile, across Asia, Chinese stocks in the red, despite new data showing a rebound in industrial profits. We can also see there Japanese stocks on the advance. But far and away, the biggest market news there was another steep drop in the value of the yen versus the U.S. dollar to a 34-year low. Investors anticipating Japanese government intervention soon aimed at providing support to the sagging currency. And Chinese President Xi Jinping holding a rare and powerful meeting Wednesday with a number of major U.S. business leaders. The gathering took place in Beijing's Great Hall of the People. The CEO of Qualcomm, the president of FedEx, and Blackstone founder and CEO Stephen Schwarzman were among the attendees. President Xi discussing current economic challenges while also hoping to persuade U.S. firms that China remains an investment opportunity, even as it struggles to contain a deep property sector crisis and boost post-pandemic growth. For context, foreign direct investment in China fell 8% last year overall. Xi and other Chinese officials saying at the meeting that China's economy is, quote, sound and sustainable. They promised more policy support, too, and insisted that U.S. firms would be treated fairly. That said, companies have been wary of Chinese expansion due to strained relations between China and Washington. Points of tension also include Chinese theft of U.S. intellectual property, police raids on businesses, and steep corporate fines. And that's before I even mention TikTok, so I won't. Now, a warning today, too, from Israel to Hezbollah forces in Lebanon. Earlier, a spokesman for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned that Israel will, quote, copy and paste Gaza onto Lebanon if tensions with Hezbollah escalate. Violence has been increasing lately, with Israel and Hezbollah trading strikes across Lebanon's border. Meanwhile, just days after cancelling a planned trip to the United States, it appears an Israeli delegation will travel to Washington soon. Melissa Bell has more.
Julia, the White House has confirmed that that high-level Israeli delegation will now head to Washington, the very one that had been cancelled by Benjamin Netanyahu earlier this week, a delegation that's been requested to come to D.C. by American officials who are keen to talk about Rafah and what happens next, indeed, to try and convince Israel of avoiding the full-out assault on the southern parts of Gaza that it is threatening to prepare. It comes, as we've been hearing from Benjamin Netanyahu, more about his hope that American bipartisan support for Israeli efforts in Gaza will remain strong. Not only, he told a meeting of bipartisan congressional leaders here in Jerusalem today because of what's been achieved so far against Hamas, but also, he said, because he believes that the end is in sight.
We've killed the many senior leaders, including number four in Hamas, number three in Hamas. We'll get number two and number one. That's victory. Victory is within reach. It's a few weeks away.
That message coming as that delegation will now come to Washington to continue the discussions that began with Yoav Gallant, the Israeli defense minister, these last couple of days. The United States urging Israel to find other ways about taking on those last remaining Hamas battalions, using more targeted strikes, building up the border between Gaza and Egypt to prevent terrorists from fleeing, for instance. So far, Israeli officials have said that they are on listening mode. They're willing for those conversations to continue, but there is no suggestion yet that they're willing to back down, Julia, from the idea of an all-out assault on Rafah and on the city itself. In fact, as we heard Yoav Gallant leave Washington this Wednesday, it was the night before on Tuesday that he told journalists that this is twofold. First of all, of course, it is about, he said, getting rid of Hamas, dismantling it entirely, but also about the hostage negotiations and the importance of sending an important message to Hamas about what might follow should a deal not be found. Julia.
Thanks to Melissa Bell there. Plenty more to come. Stay with First Move. Welcome back to First Move and a look at more of the international headlines this hour. Former U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut has died at age 82 following complications from a fall. He was America's first Orthodox Jewish senator, as well as the first Jewish vice presidential nominee of a major party, running alongside Al Gore back in 2000. He later left the Democratic Party, winning re-election to the Senate as an independent. Thailand's lower house of parliament passed a bill to legalize same-sex marriage. The vote Wednesday was overwhelmingly in favor, 400-10, in fact. It brings the nation one step closer to marriage equality. Both the Thai Senate and the King still need to approve the bill. If they do, Thailand would become the third territory in Asia to legalize same-sex marriage. Argentina is accusing Venezuela of cutting power to its embassy in Caracas after the diplomatic mission hosted a meeting with Venezuelan opposition leaders. Venezuela's opposition says President Nicolas Maduro is stifling free and fair campaigning ahead of July's presidential election. The leftist Maduro has also been harsh critic of Argentina's president Javier Milei. And officials in Maryland giving an update just minutes ago about the Key Bridge in Baltimore. A cargo ship rammed into the bridge early Tuesday morning. Officials say two victims were found earlier on Wednesday. The families of Alejandro Fuentes, originally of Mexico, and Dorian Castillo Cabrera, originally of Guatemala, have now been notified. Four others that remain missing are presumed dead. Two people had been rescued around the time of the collapse. This has left one of the top ports of the east coast of the United States fully out of commission. Authorities say there are now 11 ships stuck inside the port in addition to the Dali. When the Francis Scott Key Bridge was built in the late 1970s, container ships like the Dali, they didn't exist. Well, now these vast cargo vessels are essential to feed global supply chains. Ivan Watson has more.
Behemoths of the sea. International trade depends on mammoth vessels like this, container ships, the kind that brought down Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge in an instant.
Up close, you realize just how huge these ships really are. This container ship here, it's a bit larger than the Dali. That is the Singaporean-owned container ship that brought down the bridge in Baltimore this week.
The Dali was built in 2015 and is 300 meters or 984 feet long, capable of carrying up to 10,000 20-foot shipping containers for a dizzying variety of commercial interests.
When you look at international shipping, this is kind of the typical case. Here's a Singapore flag vessel with a Singapore company leasing the vessel to a Danish company. The insurance for the cargo is British. The classification society that observes the vessel is Japanese.
There have been three deadly incidents recorded aboard ships managed by the Dali's operator, Synergy Maritime, in the last 6 years. An accident with a ship elevator killed a crew member in Australia in 2018. In 2019, an officer went missing after having likely fallen overboard in Singapore. And last year, a collision between a Synergy Maritime tanker and a dredging ship killed at least one sailor. Meanwhile, in June of 2023, Chilean authorities briefly held the Dali, reporting a deficiency for unreadable pressure gauges related to propulsion and auxiliary machinery.
This is what you want. You want, you know, inspectors to go on board and find issues. And are they corrected? Now, the bigger issue here is going to be, did this ship have certain violations that were causing it to, you know, indicate a kind of a habitual problem?
Synergy says it's cooperating with U.S. investigators, and a spokesman tells CNN it would be inappropriate to discuss any previous incidents at this time. Singaporean transport officials say the Dali's crew reported a momentary loss of propulsion shortly before it slammed into the bridge in Baltimore.
Look at the size of this container ship next to Hong Kong's Stonecutter Bridge. At the time that Francis Scott Key Bridge was constructed in the late 70s, container ships like this simply didn't exist. They were not being built at that size and scale in those days.
Just last month, China witnessed a deadly cargo ship collision with a bridge on the Pearl River in the city of Guangzhou. At least five people died as vehicles plunged off the stretch of collapsed bridge. Authorities initially blamed the crew for the accident. Global supply chains rely on these enormous ships to move goods around the world. The Baltimore Bridge disaster may force some to reconsider the size of these ships and the potential damage they can do when things go wrong. Ivan Watson, CNN, in the port of Hong Kong.
Fascinating report. Okay, still ahead, Microsoft's moment in Asia. How artificial intelligence is fueling sales in Greater China, Japan, India, and other major growth centers. Microsoft's president in Asia will be along to discuss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome back to First Move. Asia quickly embracing the promise and potential of artificial intelligence, with China, South Korea and Singapore quickly adopting the technology in various guises. One of the tech giants well placed to capitalize on Asia's AI push is Microsoft. It has some 40,000 employees in the region, including Greater China, Japan, South Korea and India. At its Analyst Day in Singapore last month, Microsoft said a growing number of businesses are boosting spending on AI solutions. Banks, retailers and healthcare providers are among those enticed by the technology's ability to improve productivity and, of course, the consumer experience. Now, Microsoft says it's in the process of integrating AI into virtually all of its global products, like its Azure cloud computing platform and, of course, the Bing search engine. As regular viewers will know, that's also that $13 billion investment in OpenAI, the parent company of ChatGPT. Microsoft stock is up over 50% over the past year, making it the world's most valuable company with a market cap of over $3 trillion. And Ahmed Mazari is the president of Microsoft Asia, and he joins us now. Ahmed, that was a lot of me talking. Now it's your turn. Welcome to the show. You've talked about the speed of diffusion of AI technology in particular being something that we haven't seen for decades, perhaps even ever. Talk to me about the speed of adoption and embracing that's happening across Asia and how it compares to what's going on in the West.
Thank you for having me. Probably three points I'd like to make. This technology is super different. It's in natural language. So you do not have to be a software engineer to use AI. The second is the rate of diffusion that you just described is unprecedented. From when the transformer models were first launched, in about 6 weeks, we had a rural farmer in India access a messaging app in a local vernacular language to determine the best proceeds that they could get from the government for agriculture and agricultural productivity. That's the pace of diffusion. And thirdly, it is pretty left to right in where it can create impact, from a student in Southeast Asia learning maths and science using Copilot to a doctor in sub-Saharan Africa looking at pregnant women and getting them better advice, to an energy development board working with Microsoft to find a low lithium battery. Why this becomes critical for us, Julia, is because if you think about the infrastructure requirements for any technology to develop. Look at the railways. When the railways came into being, the UK was investing 10% of GDP. Microsoft is making a similar commitment to investing. We announced a $5 billion investment in Australia to further AI in the market. We have skilled 80 million people over the last 4 years with a commitment to skilling 10 more million on AI in the underprivileged world. And finally, because we're a company that has been in existence for almost 50 years, we're able to enable our partner network to create examples of the best. I'll probably give you a few that might be relevant to the Asian audience. Let's start in Vietnam. VinBrain is working with doctors and AI technologists to identify cancer screening with about 95% accuracy. Now, remind ourselves, this technology is about 18 months old in the hands of people. In India, there is an organization, a startup called Karya, which is actually enabling women in villages to create new roles on language prompts in languages that are not ubiquitous and have a small following. So these are some examples of why we describe this as one of the fastest diffusion technologies that the world may have experienced.
Yeah, it's so powerful, isn't it? Particularly in nations where there are multiple dialects, to be able to be such a power of connection in that way in particular. Okay, there's a million ways I could take this conversation. Let's talk about India specifically, because I know you've also said you're going to train, 100,000 developers. One of the comments that you made actually was that it could, by 2026, eclipse the United States. What is it specifically about India that you see in terms of potential for perhaps development and adoption, I think, of the kind of tools that you're talking about?
Julia, that's a great question. India has been at the forefront of being a technology talent generator and IP creator over the last 2.5 decades, beginning from the Y2K. And we see this as an economy where real life implementation is happening. From airlines, we work with the two largest airlines in India that is helping consumers have a much better experience and a much quicker experience of booking tickets and having a better and safer journey. I shared with you the example of language modeling. We're working with a technology platform in India called Sarvam, which is looking at Indic languages so as to create more tokens, i.e. Creating a platform for its application such that we create more inclusive technology. And your point about India is fascinating. We believe that by 2027, GitHub will have more developers in India than the United States. And even today, 1 in 4 AI projects in the world are happening out of India.
Wow. Do you think the pay gap between employing people in India versus in the United States, for example, if we're going to make this comparison, will also narrow over that time? I'm sort of fascinated about the impact of, given the importance and the weight and the heft that we're putting behind this technology, whether it's an equalizing force in, to some degree globally, for talent too.
We believe that AI will help enable our mission more successfully and more quickly than ever before of empowering every person and every organization to achieve more. I shared with you the example of Karya. This is a woman that I actually met very recently on my trip to India, actually just in February, who is in a rural village in Nasik and is able to earn 5 times the minimum wage by contributing content in her language.
I see. I love that. And I love that you have an example of where it's working as well. You know, one of the other beauties of Microsoft, and I want to expand the area, is that you do have clients, you have projects. The United States is a great example. We have your president, Brad Smith, on a lot talking about sort of the work that they do tied to the government. You also have clients and provide services in China, for example, too. If we take the example of AI specifically and the experiences that you have, do you think in particular these two nations, but all the biggest nations, including leadership in India, for example, can come together to regulate this effectively and ensure we benefit maximally from the upsides and limit the potential downsides of AI?
Julia, that's a great question, and you referenced Brad Smith, who's been at the forefront of leading our efforts on a safer technology, and we're excited about that. The world will be in a better place if we're able to govern and create convergence between public and private partnerships. You might have come across a platform that we signed up for election empowerment. As you might know, 56% of the world's adult population goes to vote this year in about 50 countries. And it's our responsibility amongst 19 other companies that we've signed up with to provide every citizen with the most consistent, the most accurate, and the most contemporary information such that they can make the right decisions around technology. And that will enable us progress more effectively.
I have about a minute left, Amma, but when I was just recently in Hong Kong, I saw that the University of Hong Kong initially banned ChatGPT, and then they turned around and were like, actually, hang on a second. Now we get it. Now we think actually it can be a great tool for our educators and for our students too. Do you expect more of that, particularly in education going forward?
This technology will probably create the most ubiquitous, inclusive growth of the future, from healthcare to education.
And as
we look at education, as we look at education, I think in Hong Kong, we've partnered with 8 universities in the government to help enable teachers to be more effective with lesson plans and students to be more effective with course content and creating learning effectiveness.
Amazing. Ahmed, I said to you in the break we could probably talk for an hour, and I was correct, but I have to let you go. Yeah. We'll speak again soon. Ahmed Mazari, they're the president of Microsoft Asia. So thank you for your time. Coming up next, a favorite among artists and emperors throughout history, but could the beloved dashing dog breed come under threat in the modern era? We'll explain next. Look at that jumper, that's lovely. We've spoken on this show many times about the impact of climate change, and now it could be affecting the way we measure time. That's according to a study from the University of California, San Diego. It says the Earth's rotation is slowing as polar ice melts and the water ends up towards the equator. That could delay the need to remove a leap second in coming years. A leap second, just to be clear. Leap seconds are used now and then to make up for a divergence between atomic clocks and the rotation of the Earth. Removing one has the potential to cause havoc on susceptible computing systems. Interesting. Now, to a brewing canine controversy in Germany. The nation's beloved Dachshund breed is also known as the sausage dog, could be under threat. A draft bill is being considered as part of the Animal Protection Act, which could restrict the breeding of dogs that are prone to certain health conditions. Fred Pleitgen has more from Berlin.
Many Germans are up in arms as one of the most popular dogs here in this country and really a staple of German culture, the sausage dog, they believe could be under threat and maybe in the future could disappear and not be bred anymore here in this country. Now, all this comes down to a draft law which was put forward by the German Agriculture Ministry, which is in charge of animal protection here in this country. And that law seeks to end what Germans call torture breeding. That, in effect, means breeding animals with what the Germans call skeletal abnormalities. And some of those abnormalities include very long spines and very short legs, which, of course, tend to be features of the German sausage dog. Now, the ministry itself, we've gotten in touch with them, they say that they have absolutely no plan to end breeding of sausage dogs here in this country. They say they simply want to protect animals and end what they call torture breeding, which essentially they say means breeding animals in a way that makes their life essentially unlivable because of their bodily features. Now, the German Kennel Club doesn't buy any of this. They say while some of the provisions in this draft law are good, like for instance combating the illegal puppy trade, they say that some of the rules set out for the breeding could in fact ban breeding of German sausage dogs. We also got in touch with a breeder of German sausage dogs who says that the dogs are not inbred and the vast majority of them are very healthy, and also that German sausage dogs actually live quite long. Their longevity is apparently very good. Now, the German Kennel Club and the breeder both say that they are very suspicious of this new law. They do believe that it could mean the end of breeding of German sausage dogs, and not just that. They also fear that it could mean the end of breeding of things like, for instance, German Shepherds or Schnauzers, which are also, of course, staples of German cultures, and a lot of people here in this country have these types of dogs. So there is a lot of concern out there. This law, however, is still in the very early stages of being drafted. It would still have to go through various stages in German parliament to actually become law. Fred Pleitgen, CNN, Berlin.
Yes, long-ish body, little legs, just don't overfeed them, as I know well with Romeo. And finally, on First Move, an escape that had the authorities in a total flap. This 4-year-old male ostrich managed to escape from a zoo in South Korea. It's actually quite huge. But not for long. After spending about an hour, though, running in and out of traffic, his bid for freedom ended dramatically when police and firefighters used an enormous net to catch him. The zoo owner says the ostrich has been returned and, in case you're worried, he is safe and sound, no harm, so no need to get into a flap. Boom. Yes. Just about wrapping up the show there. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow.
When you work next level. When you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.